the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself unto the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and administered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came unto him and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. When I began to think yesterday of this service today, I had one thought come into my mind, and it was the first line of the hymn that we use, Jesus is a wise physician. And my mind went into the next chapter, into chapter 9 in this gospel, and into the 12th verse, where it said, Jesus heard what was said. I'll read the passage. It came to pass that at Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I would have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And as I said first, that thought came into my heart. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. And then this thought, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I began to think about the text. I will admit that every time that I have referred to it, I have thought of the sick and of the whole. Yes, the physician came into the middle of it, but was not the centre of my thoughts. But not so this time. Oh, as I began to think of who the physician was, it became exceeding precious to my thoughts. And I found, as I looked through the Word of God, and as it went through my mind, and various passages came into meditation, how much this was, not only in the evidence of the gospel, but in that which preceded it, how much this was that which the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. Oh yes, we can look upon it very simply. I thought of the word that he said to, sent to John, when John sent to him that thought, Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? And we had that thought. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the dumb speak. And yes, it was all a matter of healing. And then lastly, perhaps the greatest healing of all, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And I looked back into the word of God. And when the Lord spoke from Mount Sinai, through Moses, he gave himself a name. We sometimes think of the names of Jehovah, and this one is called, not literally in the text of the Bible, but in the original, it is Jehovah Rophi. I am the Lord which healeth thee. And we think of God revealing himself, and then we think of the Lord Jesus as the living word, and we have to look upon the relationship between the two. When he came in a very real sense as a healer. Yes, a healer of souls, truly, in the greatest sense. But there had to be that demonstration of his ability. And oh, how it was demonstrated. I couldn't begin to count the number of times in which it said, as I looked through the Gospels, of the nature and number of the healing works of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes it seems that the simplest one to look at is where it said, and he healed them all. They brought the sick to him. They brought the afflicted. They brought the maimed. They brought the blind. And he healed them all. And yet, there is a lovely thought that comes when we think of the man sick of the palsy who was let down through the roof. And, yes, he looked at him and he said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. I would love to have looked into the heart of the palsied man. Surely, he felt better already. Yes, I think most of us would understand what it was to have, as it were, the double sickness, to be sick in body, but to be more sick in soul. Strangely, once the soul is comforted, how much more comfort there is, even in the afflicted body. I'm thankful that I'm able to look upon the relatively recent experience of that same blessing. But I thought of it in this man. I think if he'd been carried out again, he would have gone out rejoicing. But then the Lord said that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power, he said there, on earth, to forgive sins. But let us leave out the on earth. Yes, some inearthly creatures, but reaching down from heaven, the Son of Man hath power to heal souls as well as bodies. And then he said to the sick of the palsy, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he did so. Impossible in nature, but possible with God, with Christ. And oh, my friends, what a blessing we see in this dear Lord who healeth thee. Oh, yes. And sometimes we do not always think of the significance of some of the expressions. And we find that one which was quoted, that it might be said. I'll tell you the reference. I try to write down a few if I've got them labelled. But any case, it's just like this, that it might be said which was spoken by the prophet, himself taketh our infirmities. It came in our reading, I believe. And as I thought of it, I looked up the reference. Of course, it is Isaiah 53. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. And then, as it goes on, it shows why he was smitten, how he was smitten. And I thought of it in the natural sense. Every time the Lord said to his people, thy sins be forgiven thee, he was looking forward. He knew there was a price to pay. He knew there was that which would be carried in his own soul. And oh, my friends, what wondrous love we see in the heart of the Saviour, who, knowing all things, he still expressed the forgiveness, even down to the last moments of his life when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, we can see the absolute, the spiritual healing was carried, and very literally so, himself took our infirmities. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. You say this turns from the healing. But it doesn't turn from another thought that had to come. But God, he was the fulfillment of God's word. The word that I showed, Jehovah Rophi, I am the Lord which healeth thee. I looked through several parts of the Gospels, and oh, how all of them delight in that which Christ wrought, especially in his healing. How it showed to them that he was that one that should come. None other, as Nicodemus acknowledged, no man can do the works which thou doest except he be sent of God. And, oh my friends, when we look at this physician, isn't it a comfort? What a comfort it is. Now, there are two things that need to come out of this. First, we find that when the people, when they heard it, they followed him. And the sick came to him. Yes, there was a wonderful thought in the first one, wasn't it? A leper came and worshipped him. Oh, what a wonderful illustration it is. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. But see, the leper came and he worshipped. What a blessed example. And what a blessed example too of the grace in which he was received. What a physician we have. What a gracious physician is our God. Now every one of us, for one reason or another, have known what it is to have physical sickness. And what do we do with it? We take it to the surgery. We take it to the doctor. We go. And what a blessing it is that it's just as simple, just as straightforward, just as blessed, if I can put such a word on the natural treatment, for often it is blessed. But how much more blessed when we go to this physician for the diseases of the soul. Oh, didn't we sing together that this physician understandeth all diseases of the soul? Oh, and we look at it and we know the blessedness of what it is to have such a physician. One, yes, utterly qualified. There's a difference. When we come to the natural physician, first of all, we have to tell him what is our problem. And then perhaps he carries out many tests and he begins to make an evaluation, and eventually he concludes what is the nature of our ailment, and he then gives to us the remedy he feels is most suitable. But not so this physician. Oh, he would that we came to him. You do find it that nearly every time, but not quite every time, the patients were brought or came to him for help. Like the poor woman with the affliction of many years who came and touched the hem of his garment. They came. They drew near. And some of them came, like this leper, and asked. And they came in faith, knowing the blessedness of his ability. It had been demonstrated. And oh, do we not see the blessedness of that ability demonstrated through the whole ages of time? Can't we look upon those we have known, of whom we are assured in spirit that they knew the blessing of forgiveness? Yes, perhaps they came and felt the need of it for a lifetime. But they came to the time when they felt the blessing of it. Oh yes, it is something that we see so adequately demonstrated that we cannot fail to believe that it is possible. Oh, may the grace be given to us that we should be as those not only who, like this leper, come in that spirit of faith, but also come like the centurion, and he was coming for somebody else. But what was the immediate response to the Lord, who searched his heart, who knew his desire, and he knew his spirit of faith? He said, I will come and heal him. Oh, but the centurion felt, empathize perhaps, with this centurion. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And what did the Lord say? I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Oh, my friends, what faith we need. But what faith is given? faith is given when. Yes, we think not so much of the malady, not so much of the need, although these things were very real experimentally in our hearts, but when, as my mind was brought in the early part of yesterday and in the time since, to think, and to think scripturally upon the evidence of the Word of God, of this healing Saviour, this one who can heal, and this one who can heal that much greater malady than that even of leprosy, the malady of sin. Oh, my friends, what a blessed Saviour we have. What a blessed physician. May we each know what it is to have his healing touch. Yes, where is that is not necessary, his healing word. Oh, to think of it. He never went near to the servant, but he was healed. He never went near to the daughter of not physically, that is to say, to heal, in that case, to the daughter of the woman of Syrophoenicia, but she was healed. It was done as from afar. And although we know that he is a God near at hand and not only a God afar off, as we think of him sometimes, we think of God in heaven and we think of the wonder of the glory of heaven, but we also have to think, one of our hymns begins, "Heal us, Emmanuel." What is the inference? Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch, a God at hand, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, may this blessing be yours and mine, to know that he says to us, "I will, be thou clean." Amen.